Welcome back to the third segment of this week's Vanguardia America. We're talking today to Fernanda Santos, the new editorial director for Futuro Media Group in New York. We'll pick up where we left off. So I wanted to switch gears just a little bit. Talk about, please, kind of the contrast between, and you've alluded to this earlier, the fact that Futuro was kind of one of the early voices in the nonprofit news world, and there are more and more voices, and that's become a bigger segment of the news landscape in our country. Talk about what is it that nonprofit news organizations bring that those corporate monoliths have brought for years or don't bring anymore, because the whole business, the dynamic of it is changing dramatically. So where does not just Futuro Media, but nonprofit news fit into that whole landscape?
Well, I think that the main thing is that the institutional weight isn't there. And if it is there, of course, it's an, if all of these organizations or institutions are, you know, but it is something that is created, has a different DNA. You know, a place like the New York Times is a tank. You know, it's an incredible, mighty, powerful tank. Mm-hmm. And I say a tank because to move a tank, it takes a lot of work. For things to change, it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, because the way of doing certain things, the culture, the beliefs, the unconscious biases, the paths, the roads, the concepts that shape the way stories are covered or not covered have been established for so long that it's very difficult and very tiresome and for some people very painful to change that. Mm-hmm. With nonprofit newsrooms, nonprofit news organizations are created with a very specific mission, which is why they are by and large tied to one aspect of the news coverage. So Marshall Project covers criminal justice. Chalkbeat covers schools. The 19th covers issues that relate to the social justice world as they apply to communities of color, primarily Black communities. So you have, you know, I can go on and on.
Yes.
The point being that when you're conceived with a very clear mission in mind, from the get-go, the people you hire are people who believe in that mission, who buy into it. They are not coming into Futuro, for example, because they want to do radio that would one day, you know, they don't want to do work that's focused on a population that's different than the one that we're focused on. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's their purpose, we either identify that very early on in the interview process, but by and large, these people don't even come and apply for jobs here.
Yeah. These are people that are committed to the work in the community in a very distinct way, right? I mean, because I sort of think back in my early years in journalism, and a lot of the young people that were around me were, hey, I'm going to work here for 6 months, and then I'm going to jump to that size of a newspaper for 2 years, and then I'm going to try to get to, you know, one of the big organizations. And so it was kind of a ladder climbing sort of process, right? And of course, by definition, this was a very corporate structure. And so it sounds like you're dealing with people who are in some ways more passionate about the thesis of what you're doing as an organization.
Definitely more passionate, and passionate, I would say passionate in a different way, but not to say that they are not ambitious. And you know, we've had many, many over the years, extremely talented people who worked at Futuro, left Futuro, went someplace else, mm-hmm. and continued their careers. One of them, for example, Fernanda Echevarri, who is from Tucson, Arizona, worked at Futuro at Latino USA specifically as a producer. She left. She went to Mother Jones. And recently she returned as a senior producer for Futuro Studios, which is the for-profit arm. So they are separate from what I do, but obviously aligned under the same Futuro umbrella. So Fernanda is now working there. So, you know, I mean, it's not like we're all sort of idealists and we don't mind that, you know, we don't care how much we get paid because we're doing this for the cause. No, that's not the case at all. We all want to get paid, and we are all paid, and we're all paid well, and we can do better, and we are working on that too. But the main difference is that you know what you're getting into when you come into a nonprofit news organization. You are attracted to that place, that job, because in addition to being a place and a job to work on and a place to work for, it is a place and a job that allows you to do things that you're very passionate and interested in. So,
And now the talk about, if you don't mind, the some of the big projects that are coming up with your organization. I just noticed on the website, and I apologize, I did not realize this, that there was a series of podcasts that had won a Pulitzer Prize. Is that correct?
Yeah, so Futuro recently won a Pulitzer Prize, the first Pulitzer awarded to in audio for audio work for a serial podcast called Suave, which is follows this man, Suave, who was sentenced to life in prison in Pennsylvania as a minor, but Pennsylvania was one of the states that had a law that allowed for certain crimes for life sentences, even if the person who committed a crime was a minor. And Maria met him years and years ago, and over the years kept in contact with him as a good journalist that she is, recording those conversations, not exactly sure where it was going to lead, but eventually the state of Pennsylvania changed the law, and Suave was able to benefit from that and leave prison. So it was a, it's a beautiful story about the way our juveniles are treated in the criminal justice system, told through the eyes of one man who's lost a lot, but also who came to a point of redemption by the losses that he suffered.
And this seems like the kind of, again, I just kind of flipped through some of the brief descriptions of the series, but this seems like the kind of work that Futuro is known for and wants to do. I mean, and are there other projects like this in the works?
Oh yeah, we have, I mean, we have a lot of things in the works. What can I, the ones that I can tell you about, we have an excellent 5 or 6 part investigative podcast done through our new unit, Futuro Unidad Hinojosa Investigates, that's headed by Maria Hinojosa. And it's on Gabriel Garcia Luna, who was a high-ranking official in the Mexican government and the right-hand man to the United States in the war on drugs efforts in Mexico, who was then found to have been working also for El Chapo and his Sinaloa cartel. And he's going on trial in the United States, is the first time that it's happening. So Penile Ramirez, who worked for many years for Univision, is now executive producer of the new unit, the investigative unit. And Maria Penile followed him for many years, wrote a book about the millionaires of the drug war. And she and Maria came up with this great, great podcast that is launching later this year. We have a great bilingual podcast, meaning in English and in Spanish, coming up just before the start of the World Cup on Messi, the soccer player. And we go back to Argentina and Spain, where he spent a lot of time, and kind of talks about his rise through soccer, but also the very interesting, let me put it this way, because I can't come up with, I hate the word interesting because what does it mean? But maybe you'll have to listen to find out.
I
But
will,
the
I
very
will.
interesting system of recruitment and training of very, very young, talented kids, essentially, who are recruited by soccer teams. We just had an episode of Latino USA that is very dear to me. It was a we gave the mic to a wildland firefighter in California from the El Dorado Hotshots, and he talked.
I saw that piece, and you, of course, I should mention, are the author of a book on hot shots from Arizona.
That's why that episode is very, very dear to me, and it's just out as a podcast. It's really, really interesting to hear, fascinating to hear someone who does a job that's so hugely important, dangerous, and also underpaid talk about what drives them to do that job and how it's like to do that job.
I'd like to close, if you don't mind, on a little bit more of a personal note. You have now moved to New York, is that right? And are you have you from Phoenix? I don't know when that happened, but you're living in New York, and you have a daughter that is going to be studying in the performing arts. How are you readjusting to New York? Because as I understand, you've lived there before.
Yeah, I lived here for 12 years. My child was born here, and they were 3 years old when we, almost three, when we moved to Arizona. It's just great to be back. I had a wonderful 10 years in Arizona. I made good friends. I met people like you. I learned a lot. I had wonderful experiences, professional, personal experiences. It's also the state where I lost my husband. He had pancreatic cancer. He died at home in Arizona. And I, you know, as much as I loved living there, and I truly believe in the possibilities of the state, there came a time when, and personally for me and for my child, it just, we were ready for something different. It just made sense that New York would be that place because we have our support network here. We have friends. We have, it's closer to Brazil where my whole family is. It's much, much closer to my late husband's family there in Massachusetts. And, you know, I'm a big city person. I know Phoenix is a big city, but it's a big city in a very different way than New York is. I live in Hamilton Heights. It's a heavily immigrant neighborhood. My neighbors are Dominicans, they're African American, they're white, they're young, they're older. I walk everywhere. I don't have a car. I take the bus, I take the subway. I know the guy who sells fruits around the corner. He's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, it's just made so much sense at this point in my life. And my daughter is very interested in performing arts, and she got accepted. She did an audition and was offered a spot at a school called Professional Performing Arts School. It's a public middle school in New York that has a great musical theater program in middle school, and then in high school it has specialized programs, voice, dance, etc. So it just
You're
also makes sense for them to be here.
yeah, so you're back in New York, not necessarily new to you, an old new city for you in some ways, and new job. I want to congratulate you on the job. It looks like you're going to do some great work. I'm sure you're going to do great work there. And thank you for taking some time to talk to my listeners about Futuro Media and the work you're going to be doing.
Oh, it was great to talk to you and pull me away from a day of back-to-back-to-back meetings. So it was a great, great chance to just relax my head and have a fun conversation.
Thank you. Have a great day. I appreciate your
You
time
too.
today. That was Fernanda Santos, the editorial director for Futuro Media Group in New York. In just a moment, we'll be back with my interview with playwright José Cruz González. José Cruz González is the author of a number of plays that have been performed across the country, including American Mariachi, one of his most recent, and a show that actually staged here in Phoenix just before the pandemic, and then in other cities across the country, most recently last year at the Goodman Theater in Chicago. José is also a professor emeritus at California State University in Santa Cruz. We'll be back in just a moment with my interview. Thank you for joining us on this week's Vanguardia America.